Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, let us sing together from Psalter 47, verse 8, 9, and 10. Down unto death thou leadest me, consumed by thirst and agony, with cruel hate and anger fierce, my helpless hands and feet they pierce. 8, 9, and 10 of 47. Scripture reading for this evening hour can be found in the Gospel according to St. John, there of the 19th chapter, beginning with verse 23 to the end. John 19, beginning with verse 23. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. And they said, therefore, among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he saith, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, A bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, They shall look on him whom they pierced. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. Thus far the reading of God's word.
Congregation, let us seek the Lord's countenance in prayer and ask for his blessing and presence among us tonight. Let us pray together. Almighty, merciful and gracious Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who art the same yesterday, today, and forever, thou art that almighty, holy, majestic being high in the heavens. And Lord, in thy goodness and providence, we may be together in thy house tonight for a special service to remember the death of thy Son that thou hast given into this world, thy only begotten Son, not only to live, to fulfill thy law, but also to die, to suffer, to satisfy the justice of God. O Lord, we beg thee then, as tonight we may meditate especially on the word of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross, It is finished. Lord, wilt thou give opening to proclaim that precious gospel message, but also give opening to hear thy word, that it may enlighten our minds to the truth, but that it may also go down into our hearts. Oh, may there be well-prepared hearts to receive the precious word. Lord, thou knowest each one of us, all our hearts. They're all open unto thee. Thou knowest how we have come into thy house tonight. Thou knowest all our cares, our concerns, our burdens, our questions, our needs. Thou knowest those who are yet dead in sins and trespasses. They came to church tonight, and yet there's no hunger, no thirst, no urgency. Lord, we beg thee that tonight it would be the hour of thy good pleasure, that thou would richly bless thy word with the power of the Holy Spirit, and that they may see for the first time that they're guilty and under that wrath of God and need to be delivered, that there's an urgency, and that they may cry out unto thee, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, we beg thee that those who are still so comfortably lost may be awakened. May there be an urgency in their hearts, and they can have no rest until they may be brought to that only place to rest in that only Savior. Lord, we beg thee, work mightily then with thy Holy Spirit, and accompany thy word, and bless it richly to thy honor, to thy glory, and to the salvation of sinners. Remember those who have been awakened, made alive, and they hear the gospel. They hear it by grace, and yet they are still looking inside for something to please thee, to move thee, that thou would have favor upon thee. They know it in their head, the truth. It's by free and sovereign grace. And that they may come without money and without price, and yet in their hearts, they have not come to that place of complete surrender, to come as a guilty one, an ungodly one that has nothing. Lord, we beg thee that tonight, that they may hear from thy word. It's finished. They cannot add anything. They do not need to add anything, but that they may find everything, complete salvation outside of self, and that they may hear it with joy. Oh, remember those who have nothing, guilty, lost, unworthy, ungodly, unrighteous, wretches. Oh, may they hear it, maybe for the first time or again, it's finished. O Lord, give opening to proclaim the wonders of the grace that thou hast fulfilled through thy life, but especially through thy sacrifice on the cross. O, we pray, give the unction of the Holy Spirit to preach, but also give a blessing upon thy word to hear, to receive. Oh, give faith to believe, and give faith that it may be an exercise, that sinners may be given to look outside of self unto that Lamb of God, to hear his word, to believe, and to receive comfort, to receive that only rest, that true peace, that joy that is in thee, a given Savior, a perfect Savior, but also a Savior who gave everything for a people who have nothing. Lord, we beg thee then, come among us tonight. Thou hast promised where two or three are gathered together in thy name, thou wilt be in the midst. Lord, we beg thee then for thy honor, for thy glory, for the salvation of sinners, for the edification of thy dear people. Pass us not by, Lord. We only deserve darkness, wrath. But we beg thee, in thy wrath, remember mercy and look upon us through thy dear Son, through his righteousness, through his blood. Help, Lord, to preach in simplicity, May the children hear also the great wonders and understand, and that it may be blessed, that their hearts may be renewed by thy grace, that they may be instructed in that only way of salvation. Remember teenagers, Lord. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, work mighty in them. Capture their hearts by thy grace. Remember older ones, how we can be so busy with all the cares of this life. Lord, take all other thoughts, all other obstacles and hindrance away, that we may listen to the word of God. Give that we may preach, thus saith the Lord, and that we may receive it. It's the Lord's word. It's the Lord speaking to us. Such a wonderful, undeserved message. And so, Lord, we beg thee, look upon us in mercy. Come among us. Work mightily. Remember then also thy word that may be proclaimed throughout the world, the gospel. Bless it richly. O Lord, we beg thee, bless law and gospel, that sinners may become guilty sinners, lost sinners, and that guilty and lost sinners may be led to that only one, to him who has that balm in Gilead, to give that comfort, to give everything they need, that they may be reconciled with a holy and just God. Help all thy servants throughout the world, Lord. Give each one what they stand in need of. Give them the unction of the Holy Spirit, and that we may be a voice, a mouthpiece for thee. Lord, we beg thee that thy kingdom may come among Jew and Gentile. Bless all mission work locally in this nation, but throughout the world. O Lord, thou hast promised that through the foolishness of preaching, that sinners would be born again, that they will be saved through that only name, Jesus Christ. And thou hast promised that they will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, that thou wilt gather them. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, gather them throughout the world, but also among us, in this congregation, in our families, Lord, and also personally. May we become by thy grace a sheep of that good shepherd, sought by thee, saved by thee, but also redeemed by thee, and to receive that only comfort that we do not have in ourselves, that comfort in life and in death, that we belong to that faithful Savior who bought with his precious blood. Oh, may we hear it again tonight. May there be comfort for the comfortless. May there be a little bread for the hungry. May there be wadi for the thirsty. Oh, we beg thee that there may be many crying and praying unto thee. Lord, give opening. Bless thy word. Help the sinner on the pulpit to proclaim thy word. Help each to hear. May thy kingdom come. Oh, Lord, we need thy grace. We need thy Holy Spirit. Without thee, we can do nothing, and we deserve nothing. But, Lord, thou hast said in thy word, I do it not for thy name's sake, but for my name's sake. Oh, may we plead then upon thy own name's sake, for thy honor, for thy glory. Take away all the obstacles, all the hindrances in preaching and in listening. Lord, remember all those who are sick and afflicted. Care for them. Bless the means they may use for their body. We think especially of that tiny little baby in the hospital in Toronto. Care for her, Lord. Give that she may grow, that she may also in due time receive what is needed, also for surgery with her heart. Care for her. Remember her parents. Remember all those with special cares and needs. Lord, remember those who are mourning. Comfort them and sanctify all these callings unto our hearts, Lord. Wilt thou teach us then by thy word and by all thy acts of providence that thou art speaking to us, that thou art saying, prepare to meet thy God, and teach us, Lord, that we cannot meet thee as we have born, that we need thy grace, we need to be born again, and we need to be in, brought into that only Savior, covered by him, washed by him, cleansed by him. O Lord, we beg thee then tonight that we may have a blessed time in thy house, because that thou would be among us and that thou would bless thy word. O, we beg thee then, Lord, look upon us through thy dear Son, in whom thou art well pleased. Wash and cleanse us from all our many sins in that all-atoning precious blood, that we may read in thy word that cleanses from all sin. Lord, we ask thee, we're undeserving. We deserve nothing because of all our sins, because of all our iniquities and transgressions, that may we ask it only upon that name, that only name of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Amen. Congregation, let us continue now with singing from Psalter 170, all three stanzas. Praise waits for thee in Zion. All men shall worship there and pay their vows before thee, O God, who hearest prayer. Our sins rise up against us, prevailing day by day, but thou wilt show us mercy and take their guilt away. Psalter 170, all three stanzas. And the collections for this evening is the first for the church and the second for the building fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. dear congregation, this evening as we remember the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, we wish to meditate on what we read in John 19, verse 30. Only this phrase, "It is finished." Who said this? Jesus Christ, the servant of Jehovah, the Redeemer, the Mediator, the Surety. He proclaimed this with a loud voice. So the theme for this evening is Christ's declaration of victory. It is finished. Three thoughts. The timing of his declaration. When did the Lord Jesus Christ say this? Or second thought, the significance of his declaration. What does it mean? It is finished. And then the third thought, the purpose of his declaration. Why did he say this? Why did he say this with a loud voice? And so, Christ's declaration of victory, it is finished. And with the help of the Lord, we will consider in our first thought the timing of his declaration. When did the Lord Jesus Christ say with a loud voice, "It is finished"? Children, young people, older ones, when did he say this? What was he doing? When did he say this? Well, he said this when he was on the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ had been on the cross for approximately 6 hours. He was suffering immensely. He felt forsaken by God, his Father. And he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And a little while later he said, "I thirst." And they gave him a little vinegar, because we read in the psalm that his mouth was parched, his tongue cleaved to the roof of his mouth. And then he received a little vinegar. And then he said one word, one declaration of victory, "Finished." And then he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. He gave up his life willingly as the Lamb of God. We read in Luke 23, verse 46, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit," and he gave up the ghost. Congregation, nowhere in the Bible do we see the wrath of God displayed as we see it on the cross when he poured out his wrath upon his own beloved Son. But also nowhere in the Bible do we see such a display of such great love that God gave his Son to come to this earth, but not only to live, but especially to die, to become a sacrifice. And we see also that love of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he didn't only come to live in purity, fulfilling the law, but also that he was willing to give his life as a sacrifice. That he came to this world, he humbled himself so low to be cast out upon that cross, naked. What humility there to suffer and to die. He gave his life, he gave everything. What unspeakable love. And this evening I want to take you together, that we go to that cross. Because by that cross, we do not see only such a display of wrath, but also of love, of humility. And there we see a sacrifice that he made for sinners, for absolutely wretched enemies. On the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what he do." He said other sentences, and he said one word, "Finished." In Greek, it is one word. In English, it is "finished." But in Greek, it's one word. One word, "finished." And my dear friends, one word can make such a significant difference. For example, I think of a man in court. He's been accused of something, and the witnesses and all that comes, and the judge has to make a verdict. He has to give one word, guilty or innocent. One word, such a great difference. And in the book of Hebrews, we read often a phrase that has one word that has great significance. Listen, I'll read two texts to you. Hebrews 7, verse 27. For this he did once when he offered up himself. Or we read in Hebrews 9, verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. What was the repeated word, young people? Once. Once. What is the significance about this once? Christ offered himself once. It has two significances. One for Christ himself and one for all his dear beloved sheep, who learn to know themselves as nothing more than sinners. It has a great importance to Jesus Christ. He gave himself as a sacrifice for sins one time, and that one time is sufficient. He didn't need to suffer again. He didn't need to suffer more. No, he paid with that one sacrifice. God the Father is satisfied with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. Thousands of sacrifices were sacrificed, all those lambs and all that blood, but the Father wasn't satisfied. His justice was not appeased. But when the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself as the Lamb of God, as that sacrifice on the cross, God the Father was pleased. So once, it had a great importance, a significance to Jesus Christ, to the Father, but also to all his beloved people. For by one offering, sin closed the way to heaven. Sin closed that way of reconciliation. Sin broke communion with God, and through this one sacrifice, this one time, this sufficient sacrifice, that way was opened that no man, no sinner could ever open. And all those who believe by God's grace in that only Savior Jesus Christ shall be saved. They shall enter into the presence of God, into the eternal glory, to have forever communion with God. Do you see how one word, one sacrifice, can make such a significant difference? On the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ proclaimed, "Finished! Finished!" And this word influenced the author of Hebrews to write once, one time. It's complete. It's done. It's paid in full. What does this one word mean? And so when did the Lord Jesus Christ say finished? He said it on the cross. But now let's come to our second thought. Christ's declaration of victory. It is finished. The significance of this declaration. What does it mean? What does it mean to you? What does it mean to me? Many heard this, congregation. Around the cross, whoever was there heard it. The disciples heard it. But who understood it? Who understood the depth of this word, finished? How did you come to church tonight? Did you come with a longing? With a longing to hear the gospel, to hear that word, what Christ said from the cross, finished? The disciples themselves heard it. Did they understand it? Did they understand the depth of this word? No, they didn't. They didn't understand the depth of this word finished. But after his resurrection, the Lord Jesus Christ, we read in Luke 24, verse 45, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And then the disciples understood. Also this word. Why the Lord Jesus Christ had to give a sacrifice, and what also this word meant, finished. And we need our understanding opened by the work of God's grace to understand what? We need to understand who we are. We need to understand who God is. We need to understand that way of salvation, which is only through Jesus Christ. But also to come to know the understanding of this word, because maybe you read it, maybe you've heard it many times. But do I truly understand what it means that Christ said, finished? May I ask you, do you need a Savior that finished everything because you have nothing? May I ask you, where are you resting? Upon what are you resting? Are you truly resting? Am I truly resting only upon a crucified Savior, a Savior who finished everything? Congregation, billions and billions of words have been proclaimed upon this earth. Many words also flow from your mouth, my mouth. But so many of those words are empty and vain. And at the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Greeks were known that they could say one word that had a multitude of meaning. They said, we are able to give an ocean of matter in a drop of language. And the Lord Jesus Christ also spoke Greek. And he said this word. I won't say the Greek word, because that's not important. But he said, finished. And this word has an ocean of meaning, which was without depth, without width, without height. It's the abundant grace that is in God through a Savior who suffered and died. There's an abundance of grace and mercy for the chiefest of sinners. What does this word mean? Accomplished, fulfilled, performed, paid, completed, executed, paid in full. It's a great word with a great meaning. So let us together meditate upon what this word means. What did the Lord Jesus say? What's the significance of finished? And may the Holy Spirit apply, open our minds, open our hearts, open our ears to hear, that we may receive, that we may truly believe. And in believing we may have rest, that we may be brought to that only place at the foot of the cross, looking up to that only Savior, trusting only, nothing in self, but simply to that cross, I cling to him and his finished work. Jesus Christ stated this word how? He stated it with joy. He finished something. He accomplished something. And so he could say, finished. Children, maybe sometimes your father or your mother gives you some chores to do. And you do it, and it takes a couple hours, and then you can go to your mom and dad, and you can say, I'm finished. You know that joy that finally you have finished your chores. Or teenagers, older ones. You receive assignment in class at school, or at college, or university, an assignment, and you have to finish it. And after months of studying and work, you finally come to that place when you can say, it's finished. You know that joy. Jesus Christ on the cross, he could say finished. He said it with a deep, profound joy. He finished. And may I say this reverently, the assignment that was given to him by the Father. Everything that we do has a beginning. Your chores have a beginning. Assignment has a beginning. But also, the assignment that was given to the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom? By His Father. His Father gave it to Him. It had a beginning. When did this assignment, this work that was laid upon Him, when did it begin? Did it begin in the Garden of Gethsemane, when He who was knew no sin was made sin? Is that when it began? No. Did it begin in the Old Testament, for example, when we read about Isaiah 53? Is that when it began? No. Did it begin in Genesis 3, verse 15? Of that first promise of the gospel? No. Did it begin at creation? No. When did this assignment laid upon the mediator of the covenant, of the covenant of grace, when did it begin? It was even before creation. Before the world, all the stars began, before man was created, God the Father laid upon His Son a work, an assignment. Our work and assignment sometimes can take a long time, months, or they can even take years, but the assignment that was laid upon Jesus Christ was from eternity. From eternity. And now with deep reverence and carefulness from the Word of God, we're going to consider what the Lord reveals unto us about that council of peace that was in eternity. What happened? What may we know from the Word of God? That together the triune God said, let us make a universe. Let us make all those animals and planets. Let us also make man, the crown jewel of man. And God knew already, before He created man, that man would plunge himself into deep misery, that he would rebel against God willingly, offending Him to the very heart. Man resinned. Man would rebel. Man would become absolutely corrupt. He would become a stench in God's nostril, that crown jewel that He had made. And God already had a plan in His infinite wisdom to redeem such wicked rebels, such horrible, polluted, ungodly, unrighteous sinners that only deserve His eternal wrath. God already thought of a way that He could be just and justify such sinners. God the Father, out of His own free and sovereign grace, out of His own pleasure, chose an innumerable multitude of sinners to redeem them. But how? How? How could such a holy God ever receive such wicked sinners into communion with Him that He could sing over them and they could sing over Him and there could be communion? He who is too pure of eyes to look upon sin, how could He put any sinner among His presence eternally? How? The only way is that there is one who would become a substitute, who would become a surety, who would become a mediator, who would stand in the place of such wretched ones. The only way is by the Son of God coming to this world, obeying the law, fulfilling the law, and by giving Himself a sacrifice. So in our imagination, with deep reverence, we hear, so to speak, this council of peace speaking together. God the Father, say, how can I put them among my people? How? How can I put them among my people? People, sinners that are wretched and enemies. How? Then He spoke to His Son. Son, the only way. There's only one way. One way. And that is by that Son coming upon this earth, humbling Himself, leaving the glory, coming in a body, but a body I will give you a body so that you can give yourself as a sacrifice to satisfy my justice. And what did the Son say? What did he say? What do we read from the Word of God? Well, we read it in Psalm 40. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. So God the Father gave his Son an assignment in that council of peace to be that surety, to suffer, to die for the people who have nothing, that he would have everything to cover them so that they could be reconciled with the holy God. And God the Son willingly, with his whole delight to glorify his Father and to save such wretched sinners, he said, send me. Children, young people, when you complete your assignment, you can say with joy, I have finished it. It's finished. Jesus Christ on the cross, he could say, finished. Finished what was given him in the stillness of eternity. What was given to him that he had a delight to accomplish and to complete. And we may believe that he said this with joy. Joy. Finished. He could say this finally. Finally, after all that time, finally, after all those years, finally, after coming, finally, after living holy, keeping the law, finally, after suffering as a worm and no man, finally, as going to the cross, beaten, afflicted, suffering so immensely, he who knew no sin was made sin. And finally, he could say, Father, finished. I have finished it. What joy that must have been for him to proclaim that to his Father. What joy that must have been for his Father to hear that. But is it joy for your soul, for my soul, finished? What Jesus Christ promised to fulfill is finally done. What indescribable joy that he could finally say, I have finished it. It's all complete, Father. I have paid in full, Father. I have finished the work thou hast given to me upon the earth. I have glorified thy name on earth. And to do this, no words can describe how he had to humble himself, how he had to suffer, not only in the body, but in the soul. But he had a longing, he had a desire from the stillness of eternity to come to this point to proclaim, finished. What love, what profound love of the Lamb of God. But what else did he finish? What did he complete? He had victory over that great enemy, Satan. He conquered Satan. There was a spiritual battle going from the moment that that rebellious angel was cast out of heaven. And through his death, through that victory on the cross, he crushed the head of the serpent. He had victory. He could but say, finished, I've conquered him. You say, is that true? Hebrews 2 verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is, the devil. He crushed his head. And yes, as some of our forefathers say, his head is crushed. He still has power, but only his tail can wag. He's conquered. And so, poor, needy, assaulted, afflicted people, sinners, you who have God's grace, who sorrow over sin, who have nothing in self, who need one who finished everything for you, he has conquered your great enemy also. Listen tonight, listen to his voice, finished. He will never conquer you. He may assault you, he may try you, he may afflict you, but he does not have power over you, Church of God. Your King, your Savior, has crushed his head, and you will be forever delivered from that tyrant forever when he comes to to redeem you. And so he finished the assignment. He conquered Satan. But what else does that word finished mean? It speaks that all his sufferings, all his immense sufferings, have finally come to an end. There was no need to suffer for 1 minute longer. There was no need to pay anything more because he paid sufficient. He doesn't need to suffer more. He doesn't need to give more blood. He gave it all sufficient, finished. A full price has been paid by him. What joy it must have been for that Savior of sinners to say, finally, finished, finished. We read in John 19, verse 30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. He didn't die before it was finished, because then no one could be saved. Nor when it was completely finished, and knowing full well it was completely finished, he spoke with a loud voice and he gave up the ghost. He died. Finished. What did he finish? He finished all those prophecies that spoke about him. So many of those prophecies were fulfilled in 6 hours on the cross. Many of them. He fulfilled them. What does that tell us? What does that tell you? What does that tell me? That God fulfills his word. You can trust his word, what he speaks, what he promises in his Son. And so you can believe those promises. You can also trust that word that he said, finished. Oh, that we would not only hear it with our ear tonight, not only that it would enter into our minds, but that it would go deep into our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit, that sinners who can never ever say finished. Because what else did he mean by that word finished? He finished the law. The curse of the law was taken away. The law was fulfilled, but he took that curse away. And you and I are under the curse because we do not fulfill the law. We sin against the law, and so we are under the curse even for one sin. And who of us can keep even one commandment? Is that your desire in your heart, to obey the Lord? Is that your desire? You want to live for the glory of God? You want to obey him? You want to keep the commandments, to express love, but you find that you cannot? You sin in your thoughts, words, and deeds? But listen, the law is complete for transgressors. He has that righteousness to cover unrighteous ones. And congregation, you must be righteous. Nothing unrighteous will ever enter into the presence of God. What is the way to become righteous? It's by trusting. It's by believing in that only Savior, to be connected with him, to trust also in his complete finished work, to be resting entirely, completely, with your whole heart, with your whole soul, only upon this precious Savior who said, it is finished. What did he finish? He finished that payment. What payment? That payment that sinners must pay, because God says, pay me what thou owest. We must pay. We must satisfy the justice of God. God can by no means clear the guilty. He cannot just skip over, so to speak, of his justice to be merciful. No, it must be satisfied. Sin must be paid for. The wages of sin is death. And Jesus Christ, in saying it is finished, he is saying, I have paid it all. All. Completely. Every sin must be paid for. And when Jesus Christ, he said it is finished, he is saying, he's assuring us through his word, I have paid it all. Paid in full. And he's saying especially, to his little lambs, to his sheep, to poor, wretched sinners who have nothing to pay. He's saying, my little lamb, my little sheep, I finished the assignment my Father gave me. It's finished. I've conquered Satan. I've fulfilled the law. There's righteousness in me to cover your unrighteousness. There's blood by my blood to cover all your sins, to wash you, to make you pure, but to be received in me with that holy, just Father. Jesus Christ died as that substitute for his beloved people. And so he's speaking tonight. Look. Look to that only place. Look to that cross. Hear the words of that precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Finished. Finished, church. Do you hear it? Paid in full. Complete. Done. Finished. That blood of Jesus Christ blots all sin. No, not some. All sin. Listen to what we read in Colossians 2 verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us. And oh, what a list of sins. That's against you. That's against me. What a list. They're all written in that book of God's remembrance. All those sins of youth. Original sin. All our sins of thoughts, words, and deeds. That was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, as he was nailed to the cross. All those sins of all his people was nailed, blotted out, erased, forgiven, forgiven, finished. What a word, congregation. What an ocean of grace and meaning for unworthy, wretched sinners. And this brought an end to all the ceremony laws, all those sacrifices. We don't have sacrifices no more. Why? Open your Bible to Hebrews 10, and we'll read from verse 11 through 14. Because all the sacrifices pointed to the only Lamb. All those sacrifices have come to a complete end through that only Savior, the Lamb of God. Let us read together from Hebrews 10, verse 11 through 14. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, referring to Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever for them that are sanctified. God the Father was pleased with the sacrifice of his Son. Jesus Christ could say, it is finished. Congregation, are there guilty, heavy laden, poor, wretched sinners here tonight? And you don't know the way. You want to know the way, the only way to be reconciled with a holy and just God? Have you been trying, searching, seeking, trying to find a way to move him with something that you have of yourself? Listen. Listen to this one word. It's not my word. It's the word of Jesus Christ. Finish. Finish. May that word go deep into your heart. That you come to an end in everything itself. That you deny it all. Leave it all. And that you only look. Look to him. Cry to him. Him that finished everything. Because this is the only way for peace in your soul. He said with a loud voice, finished. But why did he say it with a loud voice? Why? That's our last thought. But let us first sing now. From Psalter 261, stanzas 1 and 2 standing. 261, stanzas 1 and 2 standing. Sing a new song to Jehovah for the wonders he hath wrought. His right hand and arm most holy triumph to his cause have brought. In his love and tender mercy he hath made salvation known. In the sight of every nation, he his righteousness hath shown. 261, stanzas 1 and 2. Christ's declaration of victory, it is finished. When did he say this? When he was on the cross. And we've heard a little of what that meaning is of finished. But now, why did he say this with a loud voice? Why? He said, it is finished. We may believe from the other gospels that he said this with a loud voice. Why? Young people, for example, you have your assignment. You've worked on it, maybe for months. You've finished it. And with joy, you can say, maybe at your desk, finished. And you can go to your teacher, and you can say with joy to her that she can share in that joy. Teacher, I'm done. It's finished. But would you turn around and go to your class and tell everybody, I'm done. It's finished? You don't do that. Some would think, that's just pride. Others would be irritated. Irritated because they're not done. But now the Lord Jesus Christ, he said with a loud voice, finished. Why? Why? He said this for himself. He said this for his Father. But did he say it for others? Yes, he did. He said this with a loud voice, so others could hear. And ambassadors of Jesus Christ today may also, through the word, also proclaim this word finished. Jesus Christ could have not said a word. And his all-knowing Father would have known it's done. So in a way, we could say it wasn't necessary that he sent this word. But he also could have said this word just whispering, finished. Father, it's finished. But he didn't do that. He said it with a loud voice. Why? Because he wants you to hear. He wants me to hear. He wanted John to hear it, so John would specifically write it in the gospel, so that till the end of the world, wherever that gospel would go, that poor sinners would hear. Nothing's finished in self, but it's finished in another. Why? Why does God, why does that Savior want you to hear it tonight? Finished. Because he cares for your soul, congregation. He cares for your soul. It's his love. It's his mercy. It's his goodness. Yes, he's even speaking to all the unconverted, the lost. He's speaking also to this, to them, preaching to them. There is a finished work, and you need this finished work, because without this finished work, you will utterly perish. And you will end in a place where you will hope it will come to an end, that you can say it is finished, but you will never ever be able to say finished, because you will forever be under the wrath of God. It's God's mercy and goodness. He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but he wants you to hear it. He wants you to turn, to repent with your whole heart, to forsake all sin, and to seek everything outside of self and only in him. He wants it to hear you, to hear, poor needy sinner. You who've been made alive and who are looking here, looking there, and can't find any way to be satisfied. He says it with a loud voice so that you would hear it, and that you be drawn with those cords of love to him, that you may rest in his finished work and only in him, that you would trust. Not in your righteousnesses anymore, but that they be all become filthy rags, and that you'd only trust in his righteousness. Jesus Christ wants this word to proclaim today on Good Friday to draw poor and needy sinners to himself. He says, finished, finished, sinner, come to me. I can cover you with everything I have, you who have nothing. Because I have an abundance of grace to cover the chiefest of sinners, sinners who have nothing, ungodly ones, rags, and who cannot live perfectly to that law, who long to, one who can never ever say, my prayers are finished, my tears are finished, my sorrow is finished, my faith is finished, my love is finished. It's all unfinished from our side. But he wants you to hear it. Finished, that it would come with power into your heart and into your soul, that you be drawn to him, that you would rest only in him. And we're so foolish. We want to look a little here, look a little here to find something. We hear it's free and sovereign grace. We even confess it, that it's given freely. And that he does it with joy. You may come without money and without price, but we're so often looking for a little price, a little something to move the heart of God to receive us. And he has to strip us and empty us of everything, that we can't find anything, because he only wants us, and the only way to be reconciled with him is through the finished work of Jesus Christ. My friend, how is it in your soul tonight? Do you have no need for the finished work of Christ? Oh, I hope tonight that you may be awakened for the first time, that you become lost, and that you begin to see in yourself you're a lost sinner, and that there comes an urgency for salvation, reconciliation with the Holy God, and that you cannot find anything in self, but that you're led to this place of finished work. And you, child of God, yes, children of God, are they resting? Are you resting on this finished work? I'll tell you a little story. There once was a farmer, a Christian farmer, and there was a carpenter that worked for him. And he spoke with this man many, many times about the need of his soul. And he proclaimed to him that you may come without money and without price. And this man struggled and struggled. He could not believe that he could come as an absolute wretch. He had to come with some conviction. He had to come with a little better prayers, a little more devotion, with better faith, better this, better holiness. And that farmer said, "My friend, I hope it all comes to death, because you cannot come with anything. You can only come with all your sin, and you may come. You may come and rest only on that free and sovereign grace, on the finished work of Jesus Christ." But this carpenter, he stayed so stuck. And so one day the farmer asked him, "Please, can you make me a gate? Can you make me a gate?" And that carpenter made a gate. And he said, "Can you bring that beautiful gate to my farm? Can you help me to install it?" And so he came. And the farmer says, "I want to help you. I'll come with you. But just a minute, I need to get one tool." And he got an axe. And the carpenter said, "Why do you need an axe? Why do you need an axe?" And the farmer says, "I'm just going to add a little work to your finished work." And the carpenter said, "No, no, it's finished. It's complete. It's perfect. It doesn't need any more work." The farmer ignored him. He said, "I'm just going to add a few cuts." And he took that axe and he slashed at the gate, and the gate was destroyed. And the farmer was so alarmed. "You've ruined it. You've destroyed my finished work." And that farmer said, "My friend, that's exactly what you are doing spiritually in your soul, trying to add a little something, trying to find a little something. You're destroying that only finished work." Is that you still? Is that you trying to find something in self? And I know we need the application of the Holy Spirit, but it's also our guilt for not completely resting in that only Savior, Church of God, that you would completely deny everything. All your experiences, no, don't throw them away, but deny them as your only ground of salvation, of reconciliation with God. And that you come as an ungodly wretch, only resting and trusting, believing in that complete, full work, finished of Jesus Christ. He wants you to hear it tonight. Finished. Finished. Everything is finished. It's all paid. And he says it because why? Because he wants you, Church of God, poor, wretched sinner, to believe in him and to have that joy in believing. Because those who have that joy, their hearts become broken and they want to live to the glory of God. So it's all about God, his glory, and that comfort and assurance, it goes together. Where are you resting, my friend? Where are you resting? Where are you resting, Church of God? Where are you resting, little lamb? Where are you resting, sheep? Romans 4 verse 5. "But to him that worketh not." Have you come to an end of all your works? "But to him that worketh not." Worked to death. No more work. "But believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly." That's sweet. That's sweet. No, it doesn't just say sinner. It doesn't say unrighteous. Ungodly.
That means you have nothing good to please God. Ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Oh, may the Lord work powerfully, irresistibly, and apply his word that little lambs, sheep, poor needy sinners, come to an end of everything and come to that only place of rest. Where? Where the Father rested in the finished work of his Son, where his justice was satisfied, where there he was well pleased, and so rest only, nothing in self, but only on that finished work of Jesus Christ, for there alone we can find full rest for our souls. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, oh, we beg thee for the irresistible application of the Holy Spirit. Oh, may deaf ears have been opened by thy power, darkened sin minds enlightened to who they are and what they need, hearts renewed, but also that thy people, poor needy sinners, ungodly ones, may hear it finished, and that they may be drawn to thee to find rest only in thee. Lord, remember us then. Bring us safely to our homes and give that we may come again on thy day in thy house to hear of that Savior who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. O Lord, we beg thee then, richly bless thy word and give opening to preach and to hear and bless it, that thy kingdom may come, we ask. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us sing now Psalter 100, all four stanzas. Psalter 100, all four stanzas. Forever trusting in the Lord, take heed to do his will. So shalt thou dwell within the land, so shalt thou dwell within the land, and he thy needs shall fill. And verse 4, rest in the Lord with quiet trust. Wait patiently for him. The wickedness triumphant seem. Let not thy faith grow dim. 100, all four stanzas. salvation, receive the blessing of the Lord, and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.